This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Heart of the Ronin, Volume 1 of the Ronin Trilogy. Written and produced by Travis Heerman. Voice talent by Danielle McCarville and Zeus Legion. For more information, please visit travisheerman.com. This novel contains violence and mature themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Chapter 14. Flowers in shadow, a moon floating in the east. In the west, the sun. Busong. When Kanishi finished his tale, they walked in silence again for a while. For some reason, he had not told her about Haru, even though the shame and wonder of it were both still fresh in his memory. He told her only about the village and his foster parents, but the ripples of the memory's passing were still in the mind. He told her that they had a string of bad luck, and that the villagers blamed him for it, so he felt he should leave. Akau trotted ahead of them, sometimes disappearing into the forest in pursuit of what Kanishi did not know. Sometimes Akau's carefree nature reminded him to worry less about people and simply to live. After a while, Kazuko said, "A strange tale, Kanishi. But I don't think you're a liar, nor do I think you're deranged."
"Then what do you think?"
Another lovely flush spread across her cheeks. "That is a rude question." Kanishi's ears warmed, and his heart flopped inside his breast like a fresh-landed fish.
"I've told you 2 stories of my childhood. Now you must tell me of yours," he said.
"There's not much to tell, really. I was my father's only child. He wished I were a boy. That is only natural, I suppose. Everyone wants to have sons. Wouldn't it be strange if everyone got their wish and no more girls were to be born? All the world would be sons. Anyway, that is why he taught me the Naginata."
"A potent weapon,"
she nodded. "In the hands of a strong person, I'm sure it is quite powerful."
"You're the only woman I have ever seen who can fight. Most women are either as submissive as kittens or as shrill and shrewish as a mother pig."
"That's an uncharitable thing to say. You just don't know about women. You thought I was a fox," she giggled. He clamped his mouth shut, and they walked for a while.
"What is it like to have wealth and privilege?" he asked.
She paused, as if trying to decide whether she should be offended. He added,
"It must be quite different from how I was raised."
His earnest tone must have convinced her that he meant no insult, so she thought before she answered. "I admit that it is difficult for me to imagine not having food to eat or living in a hovel that does not even keep off the rain. All I have known is discipline and etiquette and boredom. Discipline from the endless hours of studying and lessons and Naginata training."
"Discipline, I know well. I know little else."
"There are so many rules of proper etiquette and behavior that my father commissioned a tutor for young ladies to teach me proper manners. Perhaps I could teach you some." He smiled.
"I would like that."
She blushed and looked away.
"And the boredom?"
The boredom comes from all the endless hours in between, trapped in a manor house with no one to talk to except Hatsumi, and nothing to see except the same walls day after day. I envy you your travels, Kenichi. You have seen so much. I have seen so little. Lord Tsunetomo's cherry trees were so beautiful.
Doesn't your father have cherry trees?
Well, yes, but I see those every year. Lord Tsunetomo's estate was so much larger and his garden so much more beautiful, and he lives in a castle.
And I envy you the chance to do something as, well, as useless as looking at cherry trees. I have seen cherry trees in bloom, and they are beautiful. But only the wealthy have the time and money to take special journeys to view them. I spend my days wondering when I will be able to eat next. You do not have to worry about such things, so you are free to view cherry trees.
She thought about this, then sighed. It is the nature of the poor to envy the rich, I suppose.
But you envy the poor, Kenichi said.
Sometimes, perhaps, when the pressures and obligations of wealth become troublesome. After a few paces of silence, he said,
So, what are young ladies taught?
Oh, many things. Things like reading and writing, proper manners, literature, poetry, dancing, and womanly things you wouldn't understand. I tried to learn how to play the biwa, but I was a terrible musician. Hatsumi can play the biwa. She is quite skilled.
It sounds like a lot of learning. It takes a long time.
Just like learning how to use a weapon, learning to use one's mind is a difficult thing, but it is a worthy one. I love to read books.
Have you read a lot of books?
A few.
What is in them?
Even though he understood a few written characters, Kenichi imagined that books just held pages and pages of cryptic scribbling. Many things. Poetry, history, stories.
What kind of stories?
Stories about the gods and demons and animals and lovers. She said the last word with an almost breathless excitement.
Do you like that kind best? Stories about love?
She smiled and her eyes sparkled. Oh, yes. Those are the best. Then he looked ahead and pointed.
Look, there is the next village, Kazuko.
Oh, good. When they reached the village, everyone was so obsequious that Kenichi was again surprised at the power wielded by those of high station. The villagers brought food and drink and even presented Kazuko with gifts of their local woodcrafts. Small carved statues of Jizo and Kenon, beautifully lacquered and gilded. That night, well-fed and weary from the journey, they slept in the village inn. Kenichi tried not to think about Kazuko as he settled himself for sleep, but he could not help it. So beautiful she was. Beautiful enough to drive caution from his mind, to make him forget what had happened the last time he was entranced by a beautiful face. Everything about her entranced him, and there he sensed his potential downfall.
Thank you for listening to Heart of the Ronin, Volume 1 of the Ronin Trilogy by Travis Hearman. Volume 2, Sword of the Ronin, and Volume 3, Spirit of the Ronin, are available now on your favorite audiobook platform. Please visit travishearman.com, look me up on social media, or send me an email. I would love to hear what you think about the story.